This is Radio Equal Shock with your host, Alex Smith.
That was permaculture teacher, author, and activist Albert Bates speaking at the 15th Annual International Permaculture Convergence in London, September 9th, 2015. Albert hails from the farm in Tennessee. Find links to his blog and his works in my Radio EcoShock blog at ecoshock.info. Next, Albert interviews Transition Towns founder Rob Hopkins for Radio EcoShock.
My name is Rob Hopkins from Transition Network and from the beautiful Devon town of Totnes, which is one of the founding stones of the transition movement.
Great. Well, first off, I just took a tour around Totnes. I went to the Atmos Center and I was totally enamored, not so much by the project. I've seen urban brown space redevelopment kinds of things. What impressed me was the process. Mm. And you've set aside a part of this brownfield site as a museum to the process, even before it's gone very far. And being able to walk through year by year, day by day, you know, who's been to which event, it really shows social permaculture in such an elegant way. Mm-hmm. That's one of the finer features of having a history, having a way of keeping up. Okay, so a few questions. One is, you've got four children. You hear a lot about climate change. You think about their future. You're tuned in to the latest scientific reports all the time. Surely there must come moments when it seems very dark. How do you think about the future? Do you have hope? And if so, why?
I think like everybody, and I always come back to that thing Paul Hawkins said about if you're an optimist and you haven't read this climate science properly, go back and read it again. And if you're a pessimist, then you haven't spent any time among the movement of people doing something about it. I kind of inhabit that space, and I try not to get attached to whether I'm an optimist or a pessimist, because I don't think there's much value in either, really. You sort of shut down, and it's really, for me, part of the diet. It's like AC/DC, you know, part of the energy that drives me is that flipping back and forth between the two things. And, you know, I think we all have to make space for those moments where you think, this is just awful. But then at the same time, you know, I'm in a very kind of privileged position of meeting and visiting lots of transition groups doing phenomenal stuff all over the place. And seeing, you know, I mean, something like the Atmos project that you mentioned for me is an incredible example of taking this to places that's not expected of it. There's a Jean de Buffet, who was a French artist, used to say, art's best moments are when it forgets what it's called. And so for me, permaculture and transition's best moments are when it moves outside what's kind of expected of it, you know? And I loved that. I remember a really key moment for me in 2012 in Totnes was we ran a campaign to stop. You know, we're a town where 80% of our high street is small independent businesses. And that in the UK now is a precious, precious thing. Very few, most places it's the other way around. And for us, that resilience is the foundation that we build the new economy off, not something that's expendable. We have 40 places in our town where you can buy a cup of coffee from an independently owned business. And Costa Coffee, who are a massive, like the British Starbucks, wanted to open an outlet in a big unit at the bottom of the town where all the tourists come. The first place they would come to off the bus, Costa. They recognize it. Great, let's go into Costa. You know, a third of our coffee shops up the high street just die, and that's local families. So we ran a campaign that wasn't really anti-Costa. It was pro what we love about our town and about its culture and why that's so precious. The amazing thing was, you know, I've been since I was 16 involved in campaigning on different things about nuclear and roads building and Iraq war and this, that and the other. Never won anything. I realized at the time, actually, I've spent so many years of my life campaigning and protesting and lost all of them. And actually, and that's my default expectation is you make a lot of noise and you lose. And a lot of other people's expectation from outside is, people like you make a lot of noise and then you lose everything and everything carries on as it is and that's just fine. And actually, we won the Costa. Costa decided they wouldn't come. And what was really interesting was, firstly, for me, and a lot of us, that experience of, ooh, this is a funny feeling. I'm not used to this. But also other people who were like, who didn't feel that they knew, who wanted a costume, who didn't feel they needed to make a noise about it, because you lot always lose. And all of a sudden, well, we actually quite wanted a costume, actually. And so I guess for me, you know, more and more, I mean, with things like Atmos and with incredible things happening, like, I mean, the Bristol Pound, these big sort of local currency schemes going on. You know, there's now £13 million in this country invested in community energy raised through transition energy companies. Massive kind of impacts now when we're starting to measure them. Actually, we need to start getting used to the feeling of actually doing well at this stuff and winning. And, you know, Marianne Williamson had that thing about, you know, what we feel is our own brilliance or whatever. I think we're at that point. And that's that sense of this is starting to shift. And actually, we're starting to win some of these things, for me, is one of the things that helps me overcome those dark moments.
You have a new book that's coming out that captures some of these successes. Can you tell a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, in December in Paris, it's COP21, where all the world leaders come together, hopefully, and reach some sort of agreement that is what we need to see. You know, what we saw in Copenhagen was that everybody put in all that Copenhagen rubbish, you know, that actually everybody then, when it didn't happen, I mean, it kind of kicked the climate change movement in the knackers for about 4 years. We only just sort of got back up off the floor again in the last couple of years, you know. And where was I?
Copenhagen was a bust.
So for us, actually, we felt that what we needed to do was something that was a celebration. And that kind of said, do you know what? Regardless of what you decide to do, there's something really amazing going on here, and we're going to celebrate that. And you need to hear about that, because actually all over the world, in thousands and thousands of places, people are living in the way that we need to live if we successfully are able to avoid the worst excesses of climate change. And they're having a better time. They're creating jobs. They're pulling their local economies together. They're doing all sorts of amazing things.
Name of the book?
The name of the book is going to be called 21 Transition Stories for COP21. We invited transition groups around the world to send in their stories. We chose 21. They're incredibly diverse, from 15 countries, 39 transition groups. We pulled out lots of really amazing hard data. You know, there's that collectively those stories have saved, have reduced car travel, the distance of driving to the moon and back twice. They're generating enough electricity for 36,000 homes. They've raised £13 million worth of investment into local renewable energy. They're supporting hundreds of farms. I mean, it's really, but also you then get across the message, and that's just the stuff they measured. You know, we look at, often people would come to something like transition, how much carbon has it saved? Well, that's an important question. But nobody really asks, well, how many of our volunteer hours have you generated? We've got 21 stories in there. They've generated 15,000 hours of community engagement. That's 21 stories. You think over the last 10 years, if every transition group had measured the number of volunteer hours it had generated and then put like a monetary value to that, I mean, it's awesome, you know. And so those are the stories that we felt we needed to take to COP, to celebrate, to say, do you know what? You do what you do, but actually, this is phenomenal that this thing is happening and you could be part of it. And so that's what we're doing. So it's going to be called 21 Stories for COP21. It'll be coming out at the beginning of November. There will also be an e-book, and there'll be lots of other stuff that will be designed off the back of that.
Last question. If you had one wish, if you had one thing that a fairy godmother came and gave you for you to help you personally with your work, have any idea what that might be?
Well, I think the first answer to that question is in many ways, I think the fairy godmother already came. Because we set up Transition Network. It's an organization of about 12 people. We're in the fortunate position where, I mean, it's hand to mouth, but, you know, we are able to have that team of people working there. Incredible. You know, this event here has been pulled together by those 12 people who work together in a way of, with a depth of respect and trust and working that is really phenomenal. So in some ways, my fairy godmother already came. It would be, and again, this is the second one, has actually already happened as well, is about communications. Mm. You know, if you look at it, like we have people who are comms professionals who work in organizations whose job is to take an organization that doesn't really do very much and generate it and make it look like they're awesome and they're doing all this fantastic stuff. And actually, it's not that great. And they get really disillusioned with it. God, I'm having to paint this little thing to be fantastic. I mean, actually, comms people come to us and they're like, transition is incredible. Look at all these stories. You've got this city doing this. You've got this. You've got this. You've got this. And so, but we've always struggled with the capacity to really get those stories out. So we now have somebody. So the fairy godmother has come twice, and she just started the other day. So we're going into doing this stuff around COP with a brilliant comms professional, and I think that's really going to help. So she's my fairy.
So she comes the third time. What's the fairy godmother going to bring you that time?
What would she mean the third time? I think she would bring one of the big challenges we have with projects like Atmos, which in many ways represent the next evolutionary step, I think, for transition, which is about, okay, if we're serious about this, if you bring an entrepreneur's brain to these challenges, how do they look at this stuff? You know, if you, and is it possible that a transition group that's just meeting on its Wednesday evenings once a month, once it's got the kids to bed, is going to be able to produce the change on the scale we need? And so the thing with Atmos is about, we need to own assets. As a community, we need to own buildings, we need to own land, rather than depending on grants and handouts and stuff. Actually, if we own assets that are generating revenue, then we can really make this shit happen in a really scaling up kind of a way. The challenge with that is kind of pre-development finance. So something like Atmos, that's going to be like a 60, 70 million pound development. It's going to cost us about £600,000 to get up to getting the planning consent, but that's all at risk because we may not get the planning consent. You know, so we have some amazing kind of angels and funders who've come in, and we're part of the way there. But I think the fairy godmother would recognize that it needs to be at risk. We need, as part of the divestment movement, you know, what you were saying earlier, it's about reinvestment. Actually, we need that money to come in and say, there is the most awesome opportunity here to shift energy, to shift development, to shift food, to shift all these things to the community scale. But that's not a level playing field. They need support. They need investment done in a different way. That's what I'd ask her for.
Thank you very much. Perfect conclusion. Thank you.
That was Rob Hopkins, founder of the Transition Towns Movement. Find out more about Rob in my show blog at ecoshock.info.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.